Well, all right, church. How are we doing this morning? Oof. Well, it is good to be sharing the word with you. And also, very excited for this week. If you did not grab one of these, feel free to grab one. Ushers have them. They're also in the lobby. We would love, just set that mic down. We would love for you to join us this week. It is our week of fasting and prayer. We do this to start off every year in January, and we're going to be focusing on lots of things throughout the week. This is your prayer guide. Each evening, Monday through Friday, we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock, and we'll be joining together in worship. How many of you know God hears our prayers? Amen. And what an awesome thing when we can come together to pray, not only for our church, but for our world, for our community. And we're going to do that actually today as we pray for our first focus, which is the nation of Israel. So would you stand with me? And I'm going to lead out in prayer. Whoop, whoop. This is prayer. This is serious. Whoever was laughing over there, stop. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being our God. We ask right now for you to be with the nation of Israel, Lord. Our hearts pray for peace. Lord, we ask that this ceasefire agreement right now would just be extended, that there would be no more fighting. Lord, our hearts go out for all those hostages, still hostaged. And Lord, we ask that you would return them back to Israel. God, we lift them up to you. This is your nation. We ask that you would turn their hearts to you, Jesus. That you would encounter them and that your Holy Spirit would move. God, they need you today. Please keep Israel safe. Be working in them and through that nation. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. If you did not get one of these, please grab one. There are several more prayer points for today. So several more things to be praying about with Israel. I'm going rogue. This is getting wild. But I'm going to attempt to go by this mic. I'm not getting a lot of eye contact. So this might be wild here.
All right. So today I want to talk about... I know. I'm trying to talk about...
The people online are like, what is he doing? What is going on? We're on. Does that sound better? All right. Not today, Satan. We'll stay here all day if we have to. And I have a microphone, so these people can't leave. Today I want to talk the third message in our series, Light It Up, that you are the light of the world. I want to talk about the importance of light. One of the main themes in our Bible is light versus darkness. In the Old and New Testament, the word light is used more than 200 times, and the word darkness more than 170. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And our theme verse for the year, Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." You are the light of the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pretty easy for you to say, Pastor Ben. You are the best light ever. I get it.
Do not be intimidated. Put my pants on one leg at a time. But it doesn't say Pastor Ben. It doesn't say Pastor Roger. In fact, it doesn't even say pastor. The pastors are the light of the world. No, it says you. You are the light of the world. We're going to be talking about that today. Light is important. I learned this lesson very well my freshman year of college in a what we used to call an intimacy with God retreat. Wild times out at Simpson University in Redding, California. And me and a group of friends, there were five of us, were in a cabin together. And one person in that cabin, his name was Tim Altero, was from Connecticut. And from what he said, had literally lived in a huge metropolitan city his whole life and had never been this far into the wilderness. So at like midnight, we're like, dude, you got to look at the stars. Like, it's going to blow your mind what has always been up there, but you've never seen because there's too much city light. So we took them out there. Right when you get out there, even though there are some lights in our little camp area, still amazing. But we thought, there's a field about a quarter mile that way. It's just down the road. Let's walk out there, and it will be amazing. And so we start walking. Now, already, I can tell you that a light would have made this journey so much easier. So much easier. This is a walk a toddler could do in the daytime, but we are walking very slow as there are no lights now. It is absolute pitch dark. Happened to be a new moon, so there is no moon out. It is very dark, and we are trying to not miss the turn to go down this little narrow trail to the field. And as we're nearing the field, we're getting very close. This is where everything changed. How many of you have had a moment in your life where you were certain that it was life or death? There's no doubt in your mind. Like, you were like, it's happening. Well, in this moment, there are typically three responses people have. One is to fight, one is to flight or run away, and the third, I think they created this category for me, is called freeze. I learned a lot about myself that night, because as soon as we kind of got to that last 100 yards, we could kind of feel like we were getting closer, we hear this super loud growling. Very aggressive, and a bear comes charging toward us. Now, instantly, four people took off running the other way, knocking me kind of back in the process. Tim Altero, it's just in you. You can't be ashamed how you react. It's just in you. He widened his stance and put his arms up instantaneously. Whatever was going to happen, he was going to fight it. Myself, I had lost my sandal, and I was, like, in my mind, fully convinced I could very well die, but still, like, that was not processing. My body was not moving. My brain's like, no, 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 find your sandal first. You're going to want that. Take a minute. As it's, like, seconds, you know, it's running, like it does, I notice it's all white. This is a polar bear. Now, if you're from Redding, California, which I was not, just going to college there, that might have been a first tip off, too. I don't know if that's a bear. As it got within about from, you know, me to Pastor Roger, 10 or 15 feet, my eyes can make out that it was Jason Hunsinger in a white sweatshirt. In my defense, who sounded very aggressive, and could bear crawl very fast. That's the moment when you freeze and pretend you were going to fight. You're like, oh, no. Oh, those guys ran. I was standing my ground. Took me a long time to register what happened. But I can tell you this. A flashlight would have changed the whole scenario. A little bit of light can absolutely transform an atmosphere, can transform an environment, can transform an experience. A little bit of light could transform your life. True, it's crazy how convinced you can become of a lie in the darkness, and how powerful a lie can be when you fully believe it. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world because you bring Jesus with you wherever you go. And you are the light of the world because you have his message of hope, his message of love. Hope is something our world desperately needs. You didn't have to say amen to that. You didn't have to. But I know everybody online, Brian, if you're watching us from England, I know you were amen in that. I could feel it. As I prepared this message this week, thinking of not only us shining our light, but being a witness, I just want to do a big shout out to the book of Daniel. It is not a super long book, but if you can find it in the Old Testament, and if you need help, say this all the time to our kids, there's a table of contents. Go to the table of contents first. Find out what page number it is. What am I talking about? You guys aren't using real book Bibles. Just type it into your phone. It'll come up. But the book of Daniel is a powerful book for people that are lights in a dark world. And if you want some extra reading this week, please open it up and start reading from the very first chapter. You will see the power that a light can have in a dark place. We are the light of the world, and we need to shine because our world is desperate for light. Maybe you can't remember what it was like before you became a Christian. I can't. I was alone. I was scared. I had the belief that nobody would ever really love me. Or if they really got to know me, they certainly wouldn't like me. I was also 13, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I know young adults, I know people I visit that are elderly. I will let you decide what that means. Certainly not Pastor Roger. He is a spring chicken. Thank you. Yes. But it means to me, what I've seen is this is true for a lot of people today. They still feel hopeless. They still feel alone in a very scary and dark world. And they have convinced themselves that they are unworthy of love, that they don't deserve to be treated right, and that deep down, they are worthless. Friends, that is a lie. That is very powerful when you believe it. Your world, our world, is depending on us to be the light. Jesus is the answer. Do you believe that? That Jesus is the answer for our broken world? Well, Jesus believed that, which is a little conceited, but he is God's only son. So we're going to cut him some slack. Jesus said in Matthew 28, these are his last instructions. We call this the Great Commission. This was like Jesus' last thought before he goes back to be with God the Father. He says, or it says in verse 18 of 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus seemed to believe that he was the answer for the brokenness that we find in our world. And that our job, our mission, was to go out and take Jesus everywhere we go and to teach what he taught, teaching people to obey everything that he commanded. This was the plan. Believe me, I'm as surprised as you are that he picked some of you. That was just a joke. That's true. He didn't pick just the disciples even. There was way more than the 12 or 11 at that point disciples there. And he gave this command to all of them. We see that lived out in the book of Acts, how many different people who were following Jesus came up to lead. He didn't say, hey, in the future, you're going to have these guys called pastors, missionaries. They're going to lead. All you got to do is throw money at them. It'll be great. That was not his plan. His plan to save the world would be intimate and personal, maybe even slower than what we might want it to be, but it's all on you and you being a light where you are in our world. It's powerful, church. So how are you doing? How brightly are you shining? I mean, knowing that God called you to be a light, does that change how you live? If this were kids' church, everybody would in unison say yes. Yeah, come on. They would say yes and shake their heads, yes, yes. We get it up here. But are you living it out? The truth is, there are a lot of reasons why we don't shine. One reason is that we just don't have space or time or energy to focus on shining our light. Life is hard enough, and we are barely making it. I can't even think about helping my neighbor. I can't even begin to think about telling another person about Jesus and the difference they've made in my life. I have no room for that. I can barely fit in playing Monopoly Go. I don't got time. Well, church, I get that. I get that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Another reason you might shy away from being a light is you don't want to be seen as weird or political. Christian, the word Christian, just means something different than even it did 20 years ago, which is cool that I've now been a Christian for over 20 years. God's people. When you talk about being a Christian today in some circles, you have to like deconstruct a bunch of that to get back to, oh, I follow Jesus. That's what I do. I'm not saying I vote a certain way. I'm not saying I wear certain clothes, but that's what I do. I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus, right? That can be super hard. As a pastor, hopefully this doesn't surprise you, one of the questions that I actually dread most when I'm helping somebody move or in an airport or like hanging out, my dentist just asked me this, who apparently forgot who I was. He said, what do you do? What's your job? I always take a breath. Because when I tell them I'm a pastor, it seems to always change the room. Either they apologize for cussing. So many times helping people move. I'm just a normal guy. I'm like, great, this is fun. We're all helping this buddy out. And then they find out I'm a pastor, and they're like, I am so sorry. I did not know you were God's holy person. I am sorry for saying those things. Great. Or they ask that question and then never follow up with any other questions. And it's just like, I don't know what to do with a person like you. Well, I can't speak for all pastors, but I will say, being yourself is probably what most people would appreciate. Even if yourself means you're going to say a few bad words, I will pray for you. Don't worry about it. I will put in a good word with the big man, and you'll be fine. But it can be weird. Like, I love to shine for Jesus, but even I at times am like, oh, in this circle of people, if they know who I really am, they're all going to hate me, which is crazy. Another reason a lot of people don't like to shine is they just don't know what to say. And they know if they stand up right now and say, well, I could pray for you, or, you know, God taught me something about that, that they're going to end up blowing it big time, saying something weird, somehow making that person an atheist by the end of it. They're just worried that they're going to mess it up. Also, I've talked to quite a few people who just don't feel good enough to represent Jesus. They have too many rough edges, and they're not ready to shine bright enough for others to see. Now, I'm not saying these are the people who refuse to put a Jesus bumper sticker on because they know they're going to drive in a way that won't represent Jesus well. Though those people exist, amen. But a person who deep down just doesn't feel like they can represent Christ. They've sinned too much. They've done too much wrong. Some of you, this is the last one I'm going to do, but some of you may struggle to be a light because you have no one to witness to. You don't know a single other person that doesn't know Jesus. And heaven forbid you talk to a stranger on the street, because that would be weird. But you're not going to do that. You don't know. There's no room in your life to tell somebody who doesn't know about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Guys, we make a lot of excuses. There's a lot of reasons that we don't shine as brightly as maybe we could or should. The truth, Jesus is the bringer of hope. And so many in our world are hopeless, scared, and alone. The funny thing with the Great Commission, as big of a deal as it was, I mean, a real turning point for the church, Jesus did not give a plan B. He did not say, hey, if this gets weird or doesn't work out, just leave it to the Grysons. They're going to figure it out. Susan Grayson is amazing. I don't know why I said that, but she is. Mostly I was looking at Kristen, and I thought the Graysons are so great. Nope, that was not. There was no plan B. There's only the plan that we are the light of the world and that we shine because Jesus shines, that we could put him up on a pedestal for others to see and that people would glorify him. And the reality is he's coming back. I'm trying to motivate you, this first part of my sermon. The timetable on evangelizing our world, on sharing Jesus, on being a light, is limited. We don't have a date. I'm not going to predict a date. We don't know when it will all end, but we know that Jesus is coming back, and there is going to be judgment. judgment for those who don't know him, judgment for those who do. Now I know when I stand before the judgment and they put up, I'm making this up here, but let's say they put up all the things I've done wrong and they say, why on earth should you be able to go to heaven? I'm just going to be looking. I'm going to say, oh, there he is, that guy. Because of Jesus, that is it. Nothing I have done. Nothing I have done has added a single bit to my goodness. But because Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I want to be righteous, and he has made me righteous. All of my sins have been forgiven. The person living in darkness can't say that. And we don't get forever. Our world is ending someday. And you are the light of the world. Do not hide that light. Are you ready to shine, church? Are you ready to shine? I'm glad you said that, because our valley needs light. Medford needs light, Central Point, all the towns. Your family needs light. Your work, your neighborhood, your gym, this church, we need light. So how do we shine our light? This is the second thing I want to talk about. Now I have four ways that I kind of said I want to talk about today. These are four ways that you can help shine your light, but there are a million different ways to shine your light as you follow Jesus and are led by the Holy Spirit. But listen to this, because I don't want you to miss the first part. In all of those ways, you are a part of it. There isn't a bench, just sit and watch. You're on the field or the court or whatever analogy you like best. You get to play. The Lord has called you to minister, for you to shine your light. And as I said earlier, don't be shocked. He's called you and he knows you, and he'll be with you, as he says, to the very end of the age. He will be with you and he will help you. St. Francis of Assisi, this is a monk from the 12th century, was very smart, said a lot of great things. He said this phrase, "The deeds you do may be the only sermon that some person will hear today." That the way you conduct your life may be the only witness or sermon, as he uses, that that person sees all day, all month, all year. I've heard pastors describe it this way, that there is a fifth gospel. Now, when I say gospel, I'm referring to the four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that talk about Jesus. We call those the gospels. The fifth gospel is you. And guess what? A lot of people aren't going to read the first four. They're going to read you. They're going to watch you. And they're going to make a lot of conclusions about who Jesus is, because they see how you shine. You may be the only gospel they ever read. So let's shine bright, church. All right, so how do you shine? How do we shine in a dark world? The first one for me, this is in no particular order, is serve. Serve somebody. Acts of service is my number one love language, so I'm a bit biased. But for me, if I want to shine my light before others, I find a place where I can help, where I can serve somebody. You know, we have a magical place like that here at Bethel Church. It's called the Children's Ministry. It's powerful. It's magical, unless you're weirded out by that, and then it's not. It's cool. And I'll say this without crying. Kids need to see you shine. They need to see that there are loving adults who are willing to serve them, who are willing to help them. Our youth need that. Denise made me say, our ushers need that too. So if you want to be an usher, you can be an usher too. But only after you've served 1 month in children's ministry. Life is so hard. And for some reason, we are programmed to think, I don't want to burden other people. I'm not going to ask for help. I can't tell you the amount of times as a pastor where I am, in my mind, doing my job, and people are just apologizing. I am so sorry I came to visit today. I'm so sorry for this phone call. I'm so sorry for wasting your time, Pastor Ben. Which, in one sense, it breaks my heart. And in another sense, it makes me want to slap them and say, hey, this is the best use of the time that God has given me on earth to help other people, I feel. If I have a calling, it is to help people know their worth and value in Christ. And if I can do that by showing up to a hospital, showing up to a house, having a meeting, you don't need to apologize. You are worthy of us sticking together. You're worthy of us being a church. Please do not hesitate to reach out if you need help. If you want to be an expert at serving, those of you who are motivated by gold stars and A pluses, you need to memorize this prayer. Lord, where can I help today? Lord, open my eyes so that I can see those who need help. Because there are so many people that you will come across, and it might be a little uncomfortable, and you might have to talk to someone you don't know, but the Lord will just open your eyes to see a person struggling, and you can say, hey, this is weird, we don't know each other, but I saw this, can I help with this? Is there something I can do? Or serve in children's ministry. Either are good. But we can help. We can serve. We have actually a group of people here at church that have already raised their hand to serve, and they don't even know what it is. They're called the Acts Serve Team. Now, this was born out of the pandemic and out of the Alameda fires, where our church decided we can't mobilize a bunch of people when there's an emergency. We have to already have them ready to go. So we have created this team called the Act Serve Team. And when we get a need from the community, when we get a need from someone in our church, we send out an email. Everybody gets it. You do not have to respond. But if those who feel like, yes, I can help with this, they respond and we coordinate and make sure everybody's there where they need to be to help. Honestly, I don't even know how many people we've helped because it has been so many over the last 2 to 3 years. We've helped people move. We've helped at schools. We've done a ton of different stuff in our community. If you are at all interested in being on that, all you're getting is an email. I did say you were raising your hand without knowing what you were doing. That's not really true. You will get an email that'll say, do you want to help with this? You do not have to respond. But if you want to be on that list, grab one of the cards in the pews or online, go to the I Want to Connect, talk to one of the Facebook moderators and say, hey, here's my email. I would like to be on that list. We don't know what the next emergency might be or what the next big event may come, but we want to be ready. We want to be ready to serve when our world needs us most, because we are the church, and if we are nothing else, we are a light to our world. So we want to be ready to do that. Who's going to sign up for kids ministry? Okay, next one. This one I said I would come back to. It's called, well, it says, be available. If you want to shine your light, sure, sometimes that might just happen as you live, but certainly there will come times when you have to intentionally go out of your way to shine. I get that people are busy. I have 4 kids. Thursday is the best day of the week because we only have 1 hour of hockey we got to go to. It's like the dream day. We're like, oh, there aren't 3 things. Our daughter is on 4 different soccer teams. My son, we coach his soccer team. Our high schooler, Jude, he's in pep band, he's in jazz band, he's in speech and debate. He just got a part in Alice in Wonderland, then a new play. He doesn't drive yet. Every time he writes his name down, he's writing Ben Gerzinski, will transport me everywhere I need to go for every practice and everything. If we lived a little closer to North, anyways. I feel a little like the Apostle Paul talking about what a great Jew he was. Hey, I'm great at having a busy schedule. You can be jealous of my crazy schedule. But even with a schedule like that, I live my life open. Open to being late if I have to be because the Lord put something on my heart that I had to take care of. Open to ministering when somebody needs it. It would be easy to clench my fist and say, hey, I'm super busy. Lord, I'm just going to keep my time. I'm going to try to use it as best I can. But friends, if you want to shine, you got to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. To sense what God has for you each day. And you got to make space in your life for that. This year, I have a sense, which is weird spiritual talk, but I have a sense that this is going to be a new beginning for Bethel Church. And I'm talking about getting a new pastor, sure. But what's been on my spirit, on my own mind, and what I'm thinking about is there are new ministries that are going to be birthed this year out of people that are willing to be a witness, people that are willing to shine. If a pastor's job is anything, it is to equip you to minister so that you can go out and shine your light in your family, in your community, in all the places that I could never reach. If God is putting something on your heart, if he is stirring you, please schedule a meeting with one of our pastors. We would love to talk more about what God could do through Bethel Church. And through you, I think God has very big things in store, and I'm very excited about it. Matthew 5:16, this is just a couple verses from our main verse this year, says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You got to make time for people. I love a checklist. Or a spreadsheet. It just is so neat and organized. But even in my own office, I gotta make time for people too. It can't just be tasks. We are here to save the world, not just to get a bunch of stuff done that may or may not matter in the end at all. And people can be messy and annoying and difficult. If you got kids, they can be stinky. But we can minister. You can minister. You can be a light to those who need it. I just want to ask this question quick, and then we'll go on to the next one. But what is your proximity to non-Christians? I can tell you right now, that shining your light here at Bethel Church is a huge part of what God has for you on this earth. There are so many great verses where we take care of each other. But there are also equally so many important verses that say, go, share the word outside of the church, right? As a pastor, I am commonly find myself without any non-Christian people in my life, where I have to like think, oh no, everybody I talk to is a Christian. Who do you know that isn't? If not, I don't know. Join a pickleball class or something. Let the Spirit lead you. But as you make space to shine, think about where you can shine the most. And although you will shine bright here at Bethel, you will always shine brighter in the darkness. You will always shine brighter where people need you. And I just can't believe all of your neighbors are Christians. I can't believe it. So right there, you got something. All right. The third, remember I said four. The third way to shine is to speak. Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, I did. I get that public speaking is the number one fear for most people alive, which is wild because there are so many more fears that you should probably be afraid of. But public speaking can be scary. The good news, you are not often going to be asked to come up on a stage with a microphone and speak to people about your faith. Sharing your faith, shining your light as you speak is most often one-on-one. Is most often with people that you have had a relationship with and can speak to them. Not all the time, but most often. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." Love that. "That you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We get to give testimony to the goodness of God to our world. We get to share our experiences. We get to share the wisdom we've learned. We get to share God's word directly. In every way you shine, though, just ask the Holy Spirit to help. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Say, "I need help today, Lord. I may get an opportunity to share my testimony with a person. Please help me. As my instinct is to run away, help me to stand and speak clearly. I leave the results up to God, and you should do the same. God is going to be the one who saves people. We just get to shine and be his messengers. You are not a failure if you shared your faith and that person does not give their life to the Lord right then and there. I ministered to my brother for 10 years before he gave his faith to the Lord, and he did it with some other pastor. I called that guy up and I said, "How dare you?" No, it wasn't my job. That was not what God had for me. He just knew I needed to shine as long and as bright in my brother's life as I could. And I was so glad that I did that and didn't try to overplay my hand, but I was led by the Spirit. One of my favorite passages, it's a story Jesus told about a gardener. And this gardener went out and he spread seed. He spread it on good soil. He spread it on bad soil. It's a parable Jesus told. Now the bad soil, we had weeds growing up. We had really hard soil that, you know, it didn't grow because the ground was too hard, right? All of these things, which often, and how I always taught it to kids was, hey, be the good soil. Okay? When you hear God's word, let it grow. This last summer in Ecuador, I had a missionary help me understand this passage better. And he said, and I think it's so true as I've reread this a number of times since then, the meaning of this story is not about the good soil as much as it is about spreading it everywhere. Spread it wherever you go. Don't be a stingy giver of the gospel. Don't be a stingy witness. Shine wherever you are. And sometimes it's going to grow in a spot you never expected. Woody knows that. Sometimes it's going to grow and it's going to be easy and you're going to be like, I'm an amazing Christian. I just led this person to the Lord. But so generously, spread seed where you go. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. The last point I wanted to make about shining your light, I did not put it last because it's the least important. I put it last because it was the one I wanted to end with. And that is prayer. We can do nothing without God's help. Our light would barely shine if it wasn't for God Himself shining in us. We get to reflect His glory and give witness to His goodness. If you want to shine, you have to pray. And you can pray for vision on where to minister. You can pray for you sharing your word. You could pray about your dog. The prayer is not as important on what you say as it is with the time you spend with God. That you develop a relationship and an intimacy with Him. You need that if you're going to shine. Pray while you're doing stuff. Pray, stop everything to pray. Pray in a quiet space alone. Pray by asking someone if you can pray for them. This week, church, we are meeting together to pray. Now, the Lord may have only shown me and nobody else what this year could hold. But I could tell you this. If we're going to minister this year, we need to come to this prayer week. And maybe you could only join online, or maybe you're going to pray for home and just take the guide. But take part in it. And if you sense the Lord saying, hey, why don't you fast? Take one meal off. Fast for one day. I would follow the Lord if He's putting that on your heart. I would make preparation for that. Because I see in the Bible the impact that prayer and fasting can have when they're put together. I want to hear from God. Because I know He can make a difference. Another funny thing about prayer. You may think that nobody's watching. Somebody's always watching. Jesus, the king of praying in secret, and the king too, somebody saw him and wrote it down. He didn't even really do it in secret. Somebody saw him do it, and they wrote it in the Bible, right? People are watching. Every time an ambulance goes by and you may bow your head, every time you eat and you may say a prayer, for those of you with kids, your kids, they will see you pray. And how much better even if you include them in that, make it a part of what you do. If you truly do pray in secret, you're witnessing to God. God sees you pray. He hears you pray. I don't think there's a better way to shine our light than to come to the Father humbly and pray. Church, we're going to sing one more song to the Lord. Let's go before Him. Would you stand with us? And I just want to pray for us before we go. Lord, we need You. We thank You. You are a great God. We declare Your greatness today. We love You, Jesus. Amen.